Ingu Oladamare Jinyami Olarun God Jehovah Allah Amen Ra, the many names for the original ancestor, the ancestor who sees all and knows all, the creator of the heavens and the earth. We do not pour libation to you, but this morning we come pouring libation in memory and honor of our ancestors and asking them to intercede with you on our behalf. We know that our ancestors, being in the spirit world, are closer to you, and there's a greater opportunity that our request will be granted. We ask this morning that you grant the listeners the willingness to open their hearts and their minds to the information that's going to be shared, such that they will hear the truth and then be able to act on the truth. Ancestors, come and get your drink. We say libation. To our ancestors from Mother Africa, the ancestors who were the beginning of the human family that we now have, no matter what your ethnic or cultural background is, the beginning of human life as we know it was on the African continent. Every person on the face of the earth has as their original ancestor an African. We ask those Africans who were the first to conceive of a family, the first to plant a seed, the first to till the land, the first to domesticate animals, the first to navigate the mighty Nile River to Egypt, the first to build a skyscraper, the first to do surgery, the first to explore the wonders of the galaxy, and as importantly, the first to conceive of the belief in one God. We ask those ancestors to come and be with us today, to bring their wisdom, their hard work, their ingenuity to all that we do. Ancestors, come and get your drink. We say libation. To our ancestors who were murdered, displaced, diminished during our great Holocaust, our great Miafa, we do not forget you. We remember your unwilling sacrifice as your bodies are lined the Sahara and the Atlantic Ocean. We remember you and we honor you and we ask that you come and be with us today. Ancestors, come and get your drink. We say libation. We ask our ancestors who gave us the great document, the Ma'at, to come be with us, bring your additional sense of honor and integrity as embodied by Ma'at to our discussions and our listings this morning. Ancestors, come and get your drink. We say libation. To those ancestors from the Caribbean islands, from Brazil, from the southern parts of these United States, who through your unpaid labor laid the groundwork for the civilizations that are enjoyed by billions of people around the world. To those ancestors, we say we do not forget you. We remember your sacrifice, your hard work. And we ask that you come and be with us today to inspire us to also do the work required to correct a world that has gone mad. Ancestors, come and get your drink. We say libation. And to those ancestors who are yet to be born, those ancestors for whom we do good work, those ancestors to whom we pledge to honorably do righteous work all the time for ourselves, for our family, for our communities, so we can be correct to be able to benefit from the largesse that the Creator has provided for all of us. Ancestors, we pledge ourselves to continue to do work such that when you return, this place will be a better earth. Ancestors, come and get your drink. We say libation. And finally, we'd like to ask you and our audience to think of one of your ancestors, someone who you would like to be with us this morning. On the count of three, ask that ancestor to come and be with us. One, two, three. Ancestors, come and get your drink. We said libation, libation, libation. It is good.
That people use to tell their political and cultural time of day. It is also a compass that people use to find themselves on the map of human geography. History tells of people where they have been and what they have been, where they are and what they are. Most important, history tells a people where they still must go, what they still must be. The relationship of history to the people is the same as the relationship of a mother to her child.
I'm trying to defeat my limits, 'cause you only get one moment. are listening to Black Reality Think Tank with host Dr. William Rogers on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Hotep, sisters and brothers, and welcome again with the ladies after seven here with a very another exciting program. We are here every Thursday evening from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Central Time. We are broadcasting on the timeforanawakening.com network, which is a part of the Black Talk Radio Network. We're so happy that you were able to join us, and we welcome you always to the Black Reality Think Tank Network family. We have other members of our family that I will mention later in the program, but for right now, we're going to get started with a very invigorating conversation, and I'm going to let Miss Maya Marie take us from here. Good afternoon, Maya.
Good afternoon. Thank you so much, Dr. Rogers.
Yes.
And hello, everyone else. Welcome to the After 7 radio show. I'm your girl, Maya Marie, and our ancestral profile for tonight's show is the fascinating Miss Audre Lorde. Audre Geraldine Lorde was born February 18, 1934, in New York City to Caribbean immigrants settled in Harlem. She was the youngest of three daughters, and at the age of four, learned to read and write and began writing poetry around 12 or 13. She attended Catholic schools before graduating from Hunter High School and published her first poem in 17 Magazine while a student there. In her younger years, she struggled with communication and came to appreciate the power of poetry as a form of expression. She described herself as thinking in poetry. She memorized it and used it to communicate to the extent that if someone asked how she felt or what she did, she would reply by reciting a poem. She noted that she was always felt like somewhat of an outcast and wasn't accepted because she was both crazy and queer. She earned her BA, or her bachelor's, from Hunter College and her master's from Columbia University. She was a librarian in New York Public Schools throughout the 1960s and had two children with her husband, Edward Rollins, a white gay man, before they divorced in 1970. She began teaching as a poet in residence at Tougaloo College in Mississippi and went on to teach at other institutions as well. Lorde was also an associate to many nonprofit publishing organizations and co-founded Kitchen Table Women of Color Press, the first U.S. publisher for women of color. Her experience with teaching, as well as her place as a black lesbian woman in white academia, went on to inform her life and her work. She articulated early on in intersections of race, class, and gender in her essays, like The Master's Tools Will Not Dismantle the Master's House. Her early collections of poetry include The First Cities in 1968, Cables to Rage in 1970, and From a Land Where Other People Live in 1972, which was nominated for a National Book Award. Her later works include New York Head Shop and Museum in 1974, Cole in 1976, and The Black Unicorn in 1978. It all included powerful poems of protest. Her poetry became more and more personal as she grew older and became more confident in her sexuality. As a poet, she was best known for her technical mastery and emotional expression, as well as poems that expressed anger and outrage at civil and social injustices she observed throughout her life. Her poems and prose largely dealt with issues related to civil rights, feminism, lesbianism, illness and disability, and the exploration of black female identity. She spoke and traveled to different conferences about diversity and unity between groups that exist in our, different groups that exist in our society. In August of 1963, Audre Lorde delivered an address as part of the Litany of Commitment at the March on Washington for Jobs and Freedom. Quote, "Today we march," she said, "lesbians and gay men and our children, standing in our own names together with all of our struggling sisters and brothers here and around the world, in Middle East, in Central America, in the Caribbean, and South Africa, sharing our commitment to work for a joint livable future. We know we do not have to become copies of each other to be able to work together. We know that when we join hands across the table of our difference, our diversity gives us power. We can arm ourselves with the strength and vision from all of our diverse communities. Then we will, in truth, all be free at last. End quote. From 1991 until her death, Audre Lorde, New York State's poet laureate. She was an African-American writer, feminist, womanist, librarian, and civil rights activist. She was a self-described black lesbian mother, warrior, poet, who dedicated both her life and her creative talent to confronting and addressing injustices of racism, sexism, classism, heterosexism, and homophobia. Tonight, we honor and remember Audre Lorde. And with that, we're going to go ahead and go ahead, because we've got a controversial topic to tackle tonight. Talking to my girl, Shannon B.
Thank you, Maya Marie. Oh, my God. That was an amazing ancestral profile. I just got to give it up to my girl, because every week she comes back with dynamic profiles. And, I mean, I've never seen them done like that. So thank you so much, Maya, for putting in that time and that effort and the energy that you do with creating those.
You're the bomb. No problem. Anytime, girl.
All right. So today, like she said, and like Dr. Rogers said, you know, we got a great topic. You know, it's very controversial to the African-American community. I just want to, you know, just direct our audience into the conversation of the topic. This is not a conversation to decide on if a person should be gay or if they should not be gay. We want to focus on the topic that we're discussing, and that's Black Lives Matter Unless You're Gay. We developed this topic because there's a whole bunch of, I want to say, discussions that I've heard around this topic, meaning that people who identify themselves being a part of the LGBTQ community are not allowed to speak on Black issues, or they can't be the spokesperson. I mean, there's so many different issues that, I mean, or so many different ways I've heard it. So we're just going to talk about it. We're going to, you know, have this dialogue, and hopefully at the end of this discussion, you know, we can eliminate a divide in our community that needs to be dispersed. Again, After Seven Ladies, you know, we are committed to breaking down stigmas and bringing our community back together. So, like this week and all of our topics, you know, we're going to talk about it. So today I've invited one of my friends, a close friend who's an activist in the community and also, you know, very, I would say, verbose on social media about this topic. And I want him to, you know, definitely, you know, help us understand the mindset or why we even have to talk about this, you know, up in our community. So I'm going to introduce you guys to my brother, Marquise. He's not my real brother, but he's my brother. So, Marquise, can you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about you?
Please. Can you hear me okay, Shani?
We can hear you.
Okay. First of all, I want to thank y'all for having me on the call. I appreciate y'all, Queen. My name is Marquise. My given honorable name, which is also my Facebook name, is Acre LJ. That stands for Guardian God. Let's see a little bit more about me. My whole life I've been different, but different as in I didn't necessarily fit in. I didn't fit into the Christian organization. My grandmother, who I love dearly, who I believe is an angel walking amongst us, but was a Jehovah's Witness and tried to introduce me to that organization. I didn't really find footing in that. Good friend of mine, Brother William Johnson, introduced me to the Nation of Islam. Couldn't find footing in that. Wasn't going to be out there selling no bean pies on Fond du Lac. I found my footing in original African spirituality, meaning just literally our way of life. And the cool part about it is it actually encompasses everything, mathematics, cosmology, you name it. And that's it, in my opinion, what qualifies me to speak on the topic of black people, or what we should and should not be doing, is my love for the people and us to return to our divinity.
Okay, all right. Well, thank you so much for introducing yourself and, you know, bringing that to the forefront. So let's get right up into this topic. You know what we're here for. Why we're here to discuss this topic. And, you know, the common, I would say, tone or the common phrase that I hear is that, number one, you know, people a part of this community are not, they can't speak upon, you know, issues that impact black people. So, I mean, I just want to know your thought process around that, because, you know, as a black woman, I've never been asked what my sexual preference was before, you know, being harassed by the police. Mm-hmm. As a black woman, I've never been asked what my sexual preference was before, or I'm pretty sure the people who have lost their lives in the hands of the police, they weren't asked, you know, what is your sexual preference before they were mm-hmm. murdered. So why are we even having this conversation?
Well, those are actually really good points. I want to say that to you. First of all, let me preference all of my forthcoming comments by saying that I am not against any black person, period, no matter what you identify as. So that's facts. I love all of our people, unequivocally. Then you have to meet them where they are, and that's just it. All of us have to be met where they are, because we're all just on the path, you know, we're just at different points. So you said where this whole conversation came from on what, I guess what you're getting at is what homosexual people should and should not be speaking on. Is that what you're basically
Absolutely.
Asking me?
Absolutely.
Okay. First of all, a black sentient being can speak on whatever the hell they want to speak on. That's facts. I don't believe nobody's freedom of speech should be shackled. That's number one. I know, I'm not going to say believe, I know that it's not necessarily our best move as a people to put a homosexual person out front to be speaking on all of our issues, per se, to the world. It's really not a good look.
What about James Baldwin? You know, when you make statements like that, it mm-hmm. makes me question, you know, the great leaders of the past who have mm-hmm. identified themselves as being a part of this community. So mm-hmm. what would
like
you
how
say?
Many? Like
I
how
mean,
many?
I mean, openly. Yeah. Openly, we can talk about
well,
a few.
Well,
you know,
not,
openly,
if
we can talk
not,
about a few.
If it's not openly, then it's only speculation. You know.
I think we can. Well, let's talk about
yeah,
James
sure.
Baldwin. Let's talk about James Baldwin for an example.
Talk about him. Okay.
Is he qualified to speak up on? I mean, is he qualified to speak for you? I as
no.
a black man. Okay.
No.
Okay.
Absolutely
and,
not. No.
And explain
and James Baldwin,
that.
James Baldwin isn't even somebody who I would look to as, okay, for example, a perfect example, right? I got twin sons. James Baldwin ain't the first person I'm going to be teaching them about. And I'm going to be teaching them about all of our great black heroes. He ain't the first person. He ain't the fifth. He probably won't be the thousandth. He'll be mentioned. But you know what I mean? With choices that he made with his life, particularly that one, he won't be spoken on like that. And around the conscious community, he's not looked at as somebody who we should be following.
And I want to know why. You're making statements, but you got to give the reasoning behind the why.
I have no problem speaking straight words. He made a choice to be homosexual.
So we're saying that homosexuality is a choice.
Absolutely.
Okay, so yes. Let's but take out there,
there is no there is no gay gene.
Okay, like, so let's take out the caveat of the homosexuality being a choice. Let's take that out. You know, a man experiencing the same type of discrimination as you because he prefers a certain
Actually, no, it's not the same thing. Okay. I got to cut you off right there. It's not the same thing because here's the thing. The discrimination that black people has endured at the hands of this devil, as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad put it, for, you know, the time that we've been on these lands. And I can't even really say that because we preceded, we are the original people of these lands. But they just brought a few of us over from Africa as well, and then the story was changed. But that's a different topic for a different day. That's not our original way of life. Let's just put that on out there off tops. There is no proof of that existing prior to African colonialism. It was one man, one woman, or one man and several women. But that is a fact. That's not, you know, up for debate. Now, what some homosexual people try to, you know, say is, okay, well, look at the two guys on the pyramid holding hands. Well, that meant something. You ain't see. It's not flagrant like it is Caucasian culture, where their sculptures is that of, like, one man bending another man over, or their favorite, which is one man bending the little boy over. This is that you don't have to dig that far to identify that. You got to try to make some stuff up and put some stuff together to try to say, well, blacks were gay before. No. All of our great black historians, I'm speaking, and since we're speaking on ancestors, I'm speaking on, you know, the our great, well, Ashraf Kwesi is still with us. All of his teachers, Dr. Ben, you know, stuff like that. They all spoke and said the exact same thing. That did not. And like I said, I want to put an exclamation mark on that. That did not exist prior to colonialism. And then over here in America, it didn't exist with us until slavery. And it was forced on us. Let's go into Jamaica. You damn near get your ass whooped down there. Present day, practicing that. Why? Because of the sugar slave trade. Where they used to pick the sugar cane. It was very hard. It was in some ways, it was actually harder. Their slave trade was harder on them than it was here in America, but they used to practice things, and this is where the term motherfucker came from. Horrific things. Like, they would put, you know, several different slaves in a dark barn, put a bag over their head, and tell them, you better fuck the first person that you reach out to and grab. And unfortunately, sometime a son would reach out and grab his mother. That's facts. That's his. They talked about that on Hidden Colors. That's where the term motherfucker came from. And they remember stuff like that. So if you still practicing something that this devil forced on your people, you know, your people, you know, they rise up on you. So again, let me go back to my original point of saying that I don't hate none of our people, no matter what we decide to practice. And I don't look down on nobody because I'm imperfect. Let's just say that I'm far from perfect. But I don't think that a person. Yeah, I'm almost done. I don't think a person practicing that should speak for black needs in front of the world. Instead of, let's just say, for example, a heterosexual male or female, or one of each, because I believe in duality. That, you know, the yin and the yang, it comes together to make completion. But go ahead. What's your question?
Lady V.
Okay, so you referenced Elijah Muhammad, and he was told to have been a man that actually has several other women, and he actually got them pregnant. A lot of people did not stop following him, but also a lot of people started to follow him because of what happened, because they felt like, okay, well, you're kind of contradicting yourself. You tell us that we only supposed to have one woman and take care of our children, but then you have these other women and you're not taking care of your children. So what's the difference between that and a black gay man standing up for his same rights?
Well, number one, I'm not a Muslim. I just referenced something that the man said. I referenced something that the man said that was actually true. The European man meets every biblical criteria of the devil. That's facts. So I'm not a follower of Elijah Muhammad. I did not appreciate when I found out that he impregnated those little girls, teenage girls. That was Malcolm's beef. That's what he fell out with the nation about. And to try to make it out to be like Malcolm was, you know, mad about other stuff or whatever happened. No, no, no. That's what it was all about. But getting back to the point, your question, I don't think that's a good comparison. Because,
like
because the reason why he did that, let me finish what I was saying. I'll be done in two seconds, I promise. The reason why he did that is because he looked at himself as a prophet. And if you, like, I've read the Bible twice and I've listened to it once on audio. I'm talking cover to cover. All of the prophets of the Bible have more than one wife. That's facts. And he looked at himself as a prophet. He's thought of amongst the NOI as the Elijah Muhammad, Elijah as spoken about towards the end of the New Testament. But go ahead.
So I think that in the Muslim culture, it is accepted for a man to have multiple wives with conditions. And I think the issue, the issue was the age of the women. So I just wanted to uplift that point, but we're not going to focus on Elijah Muhammad, you know, anybody else. We're going to stick on this topic So I got a message in our Facebook mailbox, and you know, they basically, you know, called you a fake racist. They made references of you being a black supremacist. So what do you identify yourself as being a black supremacist?
Well, here's my thing. I don't know what a fake racist is. Like, how do you fake racism? Like, how does that work? But what I identify myself as is, like, for example, you personally asked me, would I come out and protest, several times and everything like that. I've never gone out protest, and then I probably won't ever go out and protest. You're probably the only person, Chantel, because we're friends, that could possibly get me out to do that. Otherwise, I'd never go out and do that. Why? That shit don't work for us. We've been protesting and marching and walking and shit since the 60s. And actually, if you go back a little bit farther than that.
It does work, bro. I have to stop you on that. We're not going to talk about that because there's been major changes, especially in Milwaukee. Okay.
You asked me a question, and I'm answering the question. In my opinion, it hasn't worked for us. So I won't go out there. But what you can call me for is when it's time to tear shit up. See, I'm the one who you call when it's time to do what they did down in Haiti. It's time to take his. That's when I'll get involved, like right there. But otherwise, when we walk and chanting, you know what I'm saying, chanting spells on ourselves, talking about, you know, I can't breathe and all that other stuff like that. I mean, you're chanting spells on yourself. Hands up, don't shoot, stuff like that. Whatever happened to the strong shit that we used to say back in the 60s with the real movement?
I would go out
and protest with the brothers the brothers and the sisters that was armed to the teeth.
Okay, there are armed people.
I'm
gonna let you speak, but you talking about something experienced, and I have an issue when you talk about something that you haven't been involved with. You gotta
talk
about.
I was answering your question, Shandy.
Yeah, but
you asked me what do I identify as?
And, yeah.
Okay. Okay. I'm a leader protest alone. I'm telling you what I identify as. If I ever go out and do anything, it would be with the Not Fucking Around Coalition, is what the brothers are called, that marched up in Stone Mountain, marched straight through, I think it was Georgia's Klan headquarters, or supposedly headquarters city. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they marched straight through their shit, like, do something. Now, that's who I would go out and protest and march with. I like that.
Okay.
Strong brothers. Like, I like that shit. And sisters. I like that. That's where I'm at. I'm not with the, you know, asking. And we've been asking these people for change for too long. It's time for us to
we take our shit, or in our best bet, we should separate. But go ahead.
I completely understand where you're coming from, but I think that the efforts of the people who are out there daily, it's been 63 days that people mm-hmm. have consistently been protesting, walking, and marching, and they have definitely made some movement. You know, they mm-hmm. shut stuff down in the city of Milwaukee. They're shutting stuff down in Chicago and all over the country. So let's not
discredit
the people who are out.
The Montgomery boycott lasted over a year, though.
Over a year, correct.
Yeah.
And they boycotted, though.
They wasn't out marching. They boycotted. That's the only two things that these people really, really recognize is a loss of money and a loss of life.
And you see, how
Haiti
do you
got
know
its
that
independence.
The people are not? But I just
Haiti
want
got
to,
its independence from a loss of life. A lot of losses of life.
Yeah, and
right.
But I just don't understand. How do you feel with something that you've never been a part of? How do you feel that it's not doing that? You know,
well,
I've seen the people at Mayfair complain about losing $500,000 in a small, short time frame. Cheesecake Factory losing $20,000, you know, based upon these people begging these people to stop coming to their facilities to shut stuff down. So when you make blanket statements like that, it's kind of offensive to the people who are out there doing the work, because they're doing the work. And they're making stuff happen, and they're influencing change. They're not just walking out in the streets, you know, disturbing traffic. They're actually out there in meetings. They're, you know what I'm saying, protesting or whatever at the, I want to say at everywhere, the city council meetings. You know, their voices are being heard. So let's not discredit the people who are actually out there doing stuff. I support my young brothers and sisters, and I actually walk with them because I give money. I'm a supporter. You know, we got to stop downing people for their efforts on trying to influence change and try to
right.
help them find out how we can improve it, or, you know, just stay out of it. You know, don't say anything about it. If you can't help improve the situation, don't talk down on the people that are trying to. That's my thing.
So basically, with all of this energy that we're spending doing the protests and the city council meetings and stuff like that, I got to say something on this part, right? What are we asking for? We're asking for equality from these people, right? We're basically asking for them to treat us.
It's a difference. Equity is a difference. We're not asking to get the same thing that other people are getting. We're asking for them to invest in our communities, give our communities back to us, you know, and we're asking for programs. No. They're demanding stuff. They got people fired. I mean, brother, let's leave the people who are doing the work alone. Let's try to help them on improving the situation, and let's not go there. But I do have a question for you. As far as Black Lives Matter, since we're on the protest about the racial injustices and white supremacy, you know, in the country, like, what mm-hmm. are your beliefs as far as Black Lives Matter?
I believe all Black Lives Matter. I'm not with the All Lives Matter shit, and I'll never be with the All Lives Matter shit. I believe that if everybody's house is on fire on the block, do what you need to do to put your house out, period. Now, Black Lives houses have been on fire since European colonialism, or if you want to go farther than that, since they crawled about it in caves, different topic, though, okay? My stance on the Black Lives Matter is, it's some bullshit, and I'll explain. For real, I mean, let's talk about it. You got me on the call to talk about it.
Yes,
let's talk about it. Who's the major funding person of this? George Soros. Who is George Soros? He's a billionaire globalist who believes, and he said this, in global depopulation. Okay, so this is a co-opted movement. This isn't one of these organic 1960s movements with, like, you know, Huey Newton or something like that. You know what I mean? One of our grassroots movements. This is something that Europeans gave to us, and they hold they control the purse strings. And, you know, anytime they control the purse strings, it's like these professional NBA players and stuff like that. One of them, Nick Cannon, fool ass. Right? His channel, his show, which he used to get make a lot of money off of because he was the producer of it and stuff like that, was on a Jewish-owned network. Right, a Jewish-owned network, right, like most of them are, right? He said something, and even though it was factual, you can never speak against Jews. George Soros is a Jew, right? Now, if you speak against the Jews or whatever have you, they pull funding for your shit. That's why a lot of people are scared to tell the truth about Jews. And who are the Jews? I mean, they're Europeans at the end of the day, but they control a lot of shit. You know, and make a lot of things happen in the world behind the scenes. We are. Black Lives Matter. Okay, so it's a nonprofit organization. On the original website, if you, I ain't talking about how it is nowadays, because it was just recently changed. But on the original website, if you look at the tabs, and the one tab that was originally named Guiding Principles, all the tabs were like yellow and black. I remember. It's one called Black Families, okay? And on there, there's one person and two kids. I remember that, right? Now, it's interesting to me that there's no mention, you click on that tab, of a father or a heterosexual male. Now, I'm going to read to you verbatim exactly what that actually says.
I don't think
says.
You need to read it. I feel like you're going into the direction that Black Lives Matter
about?
Supports
about
the
Black
lesbian movement. But we don't have all day. We only have
two hours.
To
what
have,
are you talking about?
Yeah. But, I mean, we want to open up the line to our listeners, and we want to...
You asked me a question, and I was going to answer the question, but go ahead. I'm sorry. I don't want no smoke with you.
Oh, no. I don't want you to feel like it's smoke. I feel like we're getting off subject, and I think just by saying the statement that, hey, Black Lives Matter supports this, that's good enough. We don't need to
that's
hear
not what
it.
I was going, that's not, okay. That's, I was talking about what Black Lives Matter,
read it, brother, read it.
Inception.
I'm sorry. Yeah, go ahead, read it.
We are committed to making our spaces family-friendly and enable parents to fully participate with their children. We are committed to dismantling the patriarchal practice that requires mothers to work double shifts, that require them to mother in private even as they participate in justice work. Who in the fuck was working double shifts, like, as a whole?
A lot of women.
Other people?
A lot. My mom was one of those women.
I mean, okay, what percentage of black women was, I mean, come on now. And then how would they know that? And then the patriarchal practice?
But brother, we...
What are you talking about?
As a black woman, I have plenty of jobs. And I don't know if I attribute it to my
Jamaican
heritage. Yeah, maybe. But I have plenty of jobs. But that has nothing to do with, you know, a lot of women who are actually out here trying to make ends meet and work in multiple jobs. So them saying that brings relief to my soul, you know, because women will actually have time to spend with their children versus letting the TVs and everybody else raise them, which is one of the issues that we have up in our community. So I applaud them for that. I definitely want to touch base on George Soros. You know, he is not an owner of Black Lives Matter. He gave $100 million to them and another organization.
He wasn't one of the founders?
I didn't see that. No. I didn't see that.
Okay.
I did a little research. I didn't see that. And he said,
just,
no. I saw a statement from him that says, no, I'm not a founder. I saw a statement from him. And I don't, it really doesn't
founder,
matter.
He's definitely a funder.
Okay, you talking over me, but let me finish. You know, I think as a black woman, I don't care if your name is peanut butter and whatever. If you support and believe in the liberation of me and my people, I am okay with it. And I'm not saying I'm okay with anything that you throw at me, but it's an ally versus somebody's against me. And until we get to where we need to go, we need to focus on building allyships versus, you know what I'm saying, like trying to make everybody against us. Because I feel like we're throwing shame on Black Lives Matter, and it doesn't serve a purpose. It's creating more of a divide in our community. If I see it, everybody else is. Why can't you see it? I mean, it's trying
to. Don't speak for everybody. So let's not say that. Let's not say that.
But
there are
I mean
people.
But wait, I'm not finished. I'm not finished with my thought. I'm not finished with my thought. At the end of the day, why can't we come together, sit at a table, get the liberation, and then do all the, you know, divide and conquer stuff at the end? We still fighting for something that we were fighting for hundreds of years ago. We still fighting for, you know what I'm saying, emancipating ourselves from mental slavery, and we focused on how it should look. The process is not what we should be fighting over. Fight after we get it done. That's just me. That's just me. We've spent so much time focusing on things that don't even matter. It doesn't matter who created it. If it's $100 million that's going back into our community, so what? Build up what you need to do. Become self-sufficient. Do what you have to do or whatever to take over your communities. Why are we so focused on the stuff that doesn't matter? That's just my opinion.
Okay, are you done?
Done, and I muted myself. Go ahead.
Okay, so let's talk about George Soros, right? Is he really an ally?
I don't care what he is. He gave $100 million for the cause. Maybe that's just me not hearing. No, all money ain't good money. But if the money coming back in my community, I don't care where it comes from. If it's going to help me build up my community, I care less. You know what I'm saying? And that's just me. I'm one person, and that's my opinion. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. So, if he's not the founder, let's talk about the founders.
Lesbian women. Okay, so what?
Shannon,
I'm just saying.
So you called me on to interview me, right?
Yes, I'm
and
sorry.
And you asked me a, right, and you asked me a question, and then you answered it for me.
I thought I was on mute. Go ahead.
Test. Shannon, can you hear me? Yes. Okay, so the three lesbian co-founder women, okay? Now, think about it like this, right? Does the LGBTQP and all the other shit that's trying to add on to that, does their agenda spill over into the Black Lives Matter agenda with founders that are of both? There's a high likelihood, right? But then let's talk about the homosexual brother who was actually constantly labeled as the leader of Black Lives Matter, Mr. D. Ray McKesson. Okay? Let's talk about him for a second, right? Because this shit runs a lot deeper than people think and people know. Okay. In June of 2016, Mr. D. Ray's cell phone was hacked. Who was it hacked by? The hacktivist group by the name of Anonymous. And what they did was they posted all of his DMs, well, not all of them, but the ones that matter, his DMs from his Twitter account, where he was having a conversation with one Jonetta Elzy. All right, now check this out. What they did was they was discussing their plans to disrupt Trump's campaign rallies. And hold up, pause. Let me say this. I am not a fucking Trump supporter. I'm not a Biden supporter. I think both of them ain't shit. Excuse my language like that, but I'm just being honest and comfortable. I don't like neither one of them. That's just facts. You got both of them are accused rapists. You got a video of Biden touching little girls. You got people on my Facebook page trying to argue with me that Biden is somehow better than Trump. That ain't that right there. This vote in November, if it comes up, because there's high likelihood that it may not, with some shit that might go down with coronavirus, but getting too far off the subject, it's not the least of two evils. It's both of these motherfuckers are evil. But getting back to the point, what they was discussing is plans to disrupt Trump's campaign and to cause a stir that will bring about martial law, causing Obama to stay in office for a third term. These are facts. They brought out the actual screenshots of this conversation he was having with this other black lady. Now, who is Jonetta Elzy? If you look her up, she's the leader of some other movement. I didn't get a chance to look that up before the call. Jonetta asked D-Ray, had he spoken to Miss Lynch? Okay. Now, when he says Miss Lynch, who the hell is he talking about? Who is Miss Lynch? Well, he's talking about at the time, Attorney General Loretta Lynch, appointed by Obama. Right now, she said, "Have you spoken to Miss Lynch about the summer and fall plan?" Right now, his response was, "We spoke 2 weeks ago, and they want us keep in mind they, want us to really start pushing how racist Trump is. So they can get the plan together so the others can start getting the protesters together. Who is the others? Well, it's a high likelihood that they're talking about the fucking group Antifa, right? Now, hold on 1 second because I got to go to my screenshot here. We spoke about 2 weeks ago. We have to make sure that our voices, that we keep our voices up, keep disrupting Trump all summer and through the fall so martial law can be declared. Now, let's talk about that for a second, right? We're talking about Black Lives Matter. What the fuck is the leader at the time in 2016, Mr. D-Ray? What is he talking about disrupting a presidential candidate campaign rally and then trying to start martial law? Like, who's telling this little dude to do this? He's getting the word from some higher-ups. Now, when you get to Loretta Lynch, the acting at the time attorney U.S. general, you're talking about a heavy hitter. And who was she in contact with to try to get this going? One can only speculate. But some other heavy hitters. George Soros is a billionaire supporter of the Democratic movement. Are we talking about the Democrats? We're talking about the same Democrats that had a political baby called the Ku Klux Klan, according to the History Channel and research. So, I mean, that's all I really had to say about that particular thing, but please believe that Black Lives Matter, it's more than meets the eye going on with that.
Yeah, it's one movement, but we're talking about the liberation of our people in this country.
Right.
We're talking about a whole plethora of other things. We're talking about seeing people that look like you and me get lynched on television in the public eye. That's what we're talking about. So I don't care if you call it Black Lives Movement, Black Power Movement. It's a movement for the liberation of people who look like you and me. And the discussion that we're having is the preference of my sister or brother who decides to be with the same sex, not being able to have the same platform or the same right to speak upon the issues that they experience because of the color of their skin.
I'm going to go back to my original point. And anybody that's listening knows that I said this. I said,
well, we got to go to a break, brother. We got to go to a break, and I want you to hold that thought.
Y'all going to say let's hold that thought. Only because, like Ms. Shaney just said, we don't go to a break. And after our break, we're going to go to some of our viewer listeners. Some of them are eager to speak and talk, and I think some of the ladies on the panel may just want to voice their opinions, because I know I do. I want to say and put it out there that I'm all for Black Lives Matter. I don't care if you're lesbian, gay, transgender, just for the fact that when you were born, you were Black, period. And like Shani said earlier, when I get pulled over, they're not checking to see if I'm a transgender. They're not checking to see if I'm a lesbian. They're checking to see, are you Black? And that's it at the end of the day. So when we get past this Black part, then we could talk about this lesbian gay part. But the way I see it, I don't care about this lesbian and gay part, because I feel like I want them to have the same rights that I have. It shouldn't be different rights just because they sleep with somebody that I don't sleep with. I don't care who you sleep with. Whoever you pay your bills with is who you pay your bills with. And on that note, Dr. Rogers, we're ready to go to break.
Dr. Rogers?
Every day is so wonderful, and suddenly it's hard to breathe. Words can't
You are listening to Black Reality Think Tank with host Dr. William Rogers on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
We are back with the ladies of After 7. We joined this very, very stimulating conversation. I really appreciate our guest for his input and this discussion. I admire you, my brother. You're very brave. You can handle yourself real well. but before
Please, doctor.
We do,
thank you, sir.
Yeah, before we go forward, I just want to kind of mention that we are here on the timeforanawakening.com radio platform. We are part of the Black Talk Radio Network. The Black Talk, the Black Reality Think Tank Radio Network program was designed as a forum. It was a conversation platform open to the members of the African family globally. This platform welcomes discussions and ideas that proselytize very strong agendas that will nurture workable solutions within the African community. So we appreciate all of you who have who support us and support our various programs. Very quickly, I just want to run through some of the programs that are part of the Time for an Awakening media lineup. On Mondays from 11 to 1 o'clock, we have African Perspectives with Brother Oshiemi Adelabu coming out of Atlanta, Georgia.
That's my uncle.
All right. He is one of the guests. His program begins at 11 a.m. Eastern. It ends at 1 p.m. Eastern time as well. It's the African Perspectives, Brother Oshiemi Adelabu. And then we have 6 o'clock in Monday evening from 6 to 8 Eastern, Acres of Diamond. Acres of Diamond with host Brother Jihad Ahmed. And then on Monday from 8 to 9, we have Black Therapy Central. Black Therapy Central is hosted by Dr. Mawaya Cambone and Sister Nataki Cambone. And then from 9 to 10, every first and third Monday, there is a conversation on reparations. From 9 to 10, every first and third Monday, a conversation on reparations. And then on Tuesday, we have the Black Reality Think Tank that airs every Tuesday evening from 7 to 9, hosted by myself. And we appreciate that. We have a very dynamic guest next week. We're going to be talking with the Raun Nefer Amon. He is the Sheka Masheka of the Osea Oset Society International. So Dr. Amon will be with us, and I'm looking forward to that conversation. And then again on Thursday from 6 to 8, After 7. Very lovely, dynamic young ladies. So proud of their work and what they're doing in our community. And then on Fridays from 8 to 10 Eastern Time, Time for an Awakening with Brother Richard and Brother Elliot. And then on Saturday from 4 to 6, Black Sister Talk. That's 4 to 6 Eastern, 3 to 5 Central, Black Sister Talk. And that program airs every Saturday. And then from 6 to 8, the Elders of Sankofa with Brother Alfonso Watkins. From 6 to 8, the Elders of Sankofa, that's Central Time as well. And then finally on Sunday, from 7 to 9, Time for an Awakening. Time for an Awakening on Sundays from 7 to 9. And that is the lineup here for the Time for an Awakening media, as well as the Black Reality Think Tank Network family. So with that, I am going to turn this back over to the ladies of After 7. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Rogers. It's your girl, Lady V. We are back. We have our dynamic guest. But we want to talk to some of our callers and see what they got to say. So our first exchange ending in or starting area code 7320265 is the last four. Hello, caller.
Good evening, family.
Good evening.
Good evening. Did you have something to say?
Yeah, I just want to throw out a couple of things. First off, you mentioned when you get pulled over by the police, they don't ask what your sexual orientation is. But if that police officer pulls over a vehicle and it's a black male in that vehicle, if that black male has a gay flag on the back of his car, bumper sticker, or in the car that identifies him as gay, that police officer is going to be more less prone to act out, because gay bashing is a federal law. So not he won't be afraid of harming the black male. He'll be afraid of harming a homosexual male, because it will be misconstrued as him bashing a gay, first off. Mm-hmm. Secondly, you said we need to complete the battle and then hash it out afterwards. We shouldn't link our movements with any other groups, because the white woman's liberation's movement destroyed the black family. So before that liberation movement, 77% of our black sisters were married. Now, after this liberation movement, those white women got equal pay, especially under Obama, in their corporate jobs. And where are our black women at? Our black women are 23% married now. So those are two reasons why linking these things together, once they get what they want, they separate from our movement and they move on with all the booty, with all the bounty from the efforts. And that's exactly what's going to happen. And to be out at a Black Lives Movement Matters movement and to have the alphabet flag with a black pair of fists on it, why are you promoting the alphabet at a Black Lives Matter movement? If it's about black lives, then you can leave your alphabet flag home.
Okay, so brother, what was your name? I didn't get your name. What was your name?
Binyanyan.
Binyanyan. Okay, so I just have a question. So I don't think that this movement is anything like the movement in the 60s or whatever for women empowerment and the black women going to the white women movement to advance women. This is
you're making
not
a comparison,
Shani. I know. And that's why I'm making my comparison. I'm telling you that they are not alike. We are not joining another movement. We are talking about the liberation of all people, regardless on if you like men, like women, like dogs, whatever. You know, we're talking about a people, a color of people who are still disadvantaged in this country because of the color of their skin. We're not disincluding them. The conversation that we're having today is about why they can't speak up for us, why they can't be spokespeople for the black community. That's what we're talking about. So I just wanted to be clear on that. And we're not linking them we're not linking them together. And a black power fist in behind a LGBTQ flag just represents that person.
Nah,
if a person is black, wait, let me finish. Stop cutting
that's
me
like
off.
Putting Jesus on a let me, don't do it.
No, that's not true. That's not true. It's not true. It's not true. So if I'm a woman who likes women and I am black and I'm pro-black and we all know this, and if I decide to put a black power fist in behind, you know what I'm saying, in front of, you know, the LGBT community, that identifies with me. I'm not telling you to adopt those viewpoints or those. I'm not asking you to. That's me. That's for me. If a flag identifies for that person, we're not walking around with Mexican flags saying that the Mexican flag identifies with us. No, it identifies with that person. Why do we have to be so literal when it comes to stuff like this? We are talking about two separate things. We're talking about a person who is not allowed to be a spokesperson for a color, the color of their skin. This is what we're talking about. So everything else is obsolete.
If you were going to the school board to get funding for school students, would you want Tukey Williams to be the spokesperson to get the funding?
Good question.
It depends. It depends on what.
Yes or no question.
No. It depends. It depends on what am I going for. If I'm going for weight, if I'm going for asking the school board to fund a program for prisons or to prevent prisons, yes, I would want Tukey Williams to be.
Here's a better question. Wait. Here's a better question. Same question. If the person going to the school board asking for funding for kids was R. Kelly, would you be okay with it?
That's even better.
It depends. It depends. If I'm trying to prevent child... I'm not going to take it. Because it's we're talking about...
We know you're not.
You're comparing... No, listen. You're comparing people who choose to have sex with the same sex, and these people are of age. They're not pedophiles, you know. They're not criminals. They just decide to have sex with the same sex.
Homosexuality is against the law.
And are you? Guess what? Guess what else is against the law?
What?
I'm just saying, there's a whole bunch of things. Spitting on the ground or whatever in front of a horse is against the law. Whistling is against the law. It's laws that are still on. You 3/5 of a man, that's still a law. So I mean, like, let's be real.
Constitution, stop that.
No, I mean, I'm just saying, we talking about it wasn't scratched out the Constitution. It's still there.
It was scratched off, the 3/5. Yes, it was. I bet you we're going to bet dinner on it.
Okay, but slavery is still the 13th Amendment. You know what I'm saying? Slavery, the 13th. Okay, wait. Slavery. Okay, we're getting off the subject. The point is, you brought it up. You brought it up. You accent or whatever. I'm talking about somebody's personal beliefs being a problem for you to believe in them when they're talking about something that they experience, like you, the color of your skin. We're talking about the color of somebody's skin.
There are certain things that should be personal to us. The Ankh cross, a pyramid, the Black Power Fist, which was coined back in the 60s with the brothers that did the thing at the Olympics. That's when that really kind of took off. The two brothers that stood put their fists up after they won the race, right? I see the people all the time putting the Jesus on a cross. We're talking about a fictitious character on an Ankh cross. An Ankh cross is symbolic of the reproductive organs of a black male and a black female. What the hell are we putting a suspected but definite fictitious being on one of our sacred geometric shapes?
I think you're misinterpreting the.
There are certain things that should be personal to us. We shouldn't put a black power fist, which is coined by heterosexuals, onto a gay flag. They're two different things. You heard what the brother said. Okay. He made great points.
I think that you're making it seem that it's a global issue. We are isolating this to that individual. If I am a Jamaican woman, if I'm a part Jamaican woman and I'm African American or whatever, I have African American, but I believe in pan-Africanism, I'm black on black, and that's how I identify myself, and I don't separate the two. But also, or whatever, I can go into the other, you know, countries or the other flags that represent me. If this represents me, why is it a problem to you? If this is who I am, why is it a problem to you? That's the question that we're asking. If this is who that person is, why is it a problem to
that's
you?
It's like white people putting unks on it. Like I seen, I used to work with
no,
a white
we,
girl.
No, we're talking about this. Let's stay focused on this issue. If a black person is a homosexual and they put a black power fist in front of that flag, and they walk around with it, and they identify themselves as black, they're pro-black, they fight for the cause, they're marching, they, you know, writing laws, they're doing whatever they're doing or whatever to support the black cause. Why is it a problem to you?
Is that a question or is that a statement?
Question. It's a question. And then after you answer, we're going to go to our next, we're gonna go to our next caller.
You hang up on my
caller? No, I didn't. I didn't hang up.
We didn't hang up on him.
Okay,
let you think about that question, and we're going to go to our next
caller.
Okay, but we're going to go to our next caller.
Hold on.
We're going to let you, yeah.
We have another caller, San Fran, last 42451. Let's hear what you got to say. Hello, caller?
Yes. Hello?
Yes. Yes, we hear you.
Thank you for having me. The discussion is very interesting, but we have a problem. And you know what the problem is? Is that you cannot juxtapose the black cause with a homosexual agenda.
Right.
See, that's why we're having, you know what? There is a problem because, you see, the black cause, you see, is sacred to us.
Right.
The black cause were people that were brought in cramped quarters, that millions died. All right? There were no transgender slave ships.
Right.
There were no homosexual slave ships. You see, it doesn't work when you attempt to bring these separate entities, they are separate entities, and you're attempting to fuse them as one. It doesn't work because, you see, this is our history. Our history is not the history of transgenderism and homosexuality and or whatever alphabet is applied. It just doesn't work.
So I guess I have a question for you, brother. I get what you're saying, but my question
is... I am not homophobic. Wait a minute.
Okay, but it sounds that way. It sounds that way. It does.
Water? No. You're attempting to mix water and oil. It does not mix.
Okay, well, guess what? We live in America, and it is mixing, and it's happening. It's happening.
It ain't been happening
successfully.
So you're saying
you spent so much energy.
It will never happen.
Wait,
I mean,
and then
you're the snake
energy.
George Soros. You know how he got rich? By
okay,
buying up property from Jews.
Okay.
Jews that whose
so
property
we,
was confiscated
we
in Germany.
We get off subject.
Well,
my question
is part of the subject. But
okay.
He is part. Soros
I'm
is
asking
part
you
of
a question. I'm asking you a question, brother from San
yes.
Francisco. I'm asking
yes,
you a direct question.
My name is Ronaldo
Rickards,
by the way,
okay.
Yes.
All right. My question to you is
yes.
Why does someone's sexual preference matter to you? Even if, you know, I understand my history. No, listen.
I'm listening.
Wait, Marquise. No, listen. Why does it matter to you? If this person decides to be with somebody that's of the same sex, why do you care? Why are you so invested in what this person decides to do?
Number one, I don't care about your bedroom gymnastics. The plight
right.
of black people is our freedom. Your bedroom gymnastics has nothing to do with our cause. Our cause has nothing to do with homosexuality or sexuality or transgenderism. It has nothing to do with that.
So you
and Shani,
you
let me be clear. No. Shani, hold on. Shani.
The fight and the history.
Hold on, brother. Hold on 1 second. Let me jump in real quick. You've been going in for like the last 15 minutes. Let me.
You're saying
no,
that
let him talk, the
confusion of homosexuality and the black cause, they are separate entities.
But if they're
you
fighting for the same thing, what,
no, you
if they're fighting for the same
let
thing,
me finish.
What
you cannot juxtapose homosexuality and the history and the struggle of black people and put it in the same slide and say that we are the world. We are not the world because
right.
we are here as black people, and then whatever happened to black people after that, whatever became transsexual, homosexual, you know, octosexual, you know, that's another issue in itself.
Well, we keep on talking about the same thing. We're not urgent.
No,
we're not. You're not answering the question. You're not answering the question.
Well, I can answer the question if you let me have the floor.
No, you're not answering the question. I want you to think.
Brother Norman.
We're going to go to our next call.
I'm
sorry. We're going to our next caller, and I want you guys to think about what I said. You know, we're not merging the two. You know, they're two separate entities. There's the LGBTQ community and their agenda, and there's the black agenda. I'm asking about a person that supports both. A black queer person is not, and this is what we're saying. You guys are saying they are not qualified to talk about their skin.
That's not what we're saying. And I said it at first. What I was saying, Shani, don't put words in my mouth. I said that they shouldn't speak on the black race as a whole. They shouldn't be our spokesman. For example, it should not be a homosexual man in a dress out speaking for black people's needs out in front of the world and to
and
the
why?
World.
But
when you
black
what you mean?
First.
I can't listen to both of y'all at the same time.
Okay, I want to talk. I haven't spoken. Why is that? So that's just like saying I don't want a poor black person to represent me either.
No. We're going to stick to the topic. We're going to stick to the script.
Why is that not a topic?
No.
You're saying a black person, a black man in a dress cannot speak on behalf of black people. Why can I not say that I don't want a poor black person speaking
Listen. We're not going to speak on poor people, okay? We're going to stay on the topic. The topic that was on the meme promoting
you said
this,
the, what,
okay,
you said
I'll let you talk. I'll let you're asking me a question and then you're talking over me, so I'll let you talk. Go ahead.
Okay, so you said the attire made a difference. They had on a dress. They were very knowledgeable.
The attire?
They
no, we're talking about the preference.
Okay, well, we're not going to agree on this. We're not going to agree on this. Let's go to our next caller because, I mean, I'm hell-bent, and I feel like Tavy. Why is it a problem if a person lives a certain lifestyle if they black?
The last two people have been explaining that.
No, it's the same person. It's the same person. But
not the same person. That was two different people.
No, it was the same person. It was the same person.
Two callers? The last two callers? That wasn't two people, Shani?
That was the same person.
No, it wasn't. That
no,
was
it
me
wasn't.
Both times. That was me both times.
Okay. So
that was San Fran. The last one was San Fran. And my thing is, though, like, Bayard Rustin, he works
both of them
with Martin
came
Luther
from
King.
San Fran, right? Both of the callers
no,
came from
San
no,
Fran.
No.
Oh, okay. My bad.
From
See? You can't pay attention. You talk too much. You don't even know what you're talking about.
It was the same stuff.
But you're not listening to us either.
It's the same stuff.
But listen, I've heard everything y'all said. She's been talking for like the last 15 minutes.
Oof,
I heard everything that she said. And I love her. I'm just saying. Like, she's been dominating the conversation for like the last 15, 20 minutes. You know what I'm saying? But we heard everything she said. But I know for a fact I was listening good enough to know that was two different brothers, and they agreed with me. So what do we...
Okay,
like, you said they're not answering the question. But they answered the question.
Okay, answer that question. Why can't a black... I don't want a
I'm not talking about no bums on the street. I'm talking about a homosexual male out in front of the world. Let's just say he at the Capitol building in I don't know, D.C. or something like that, speaking on black topics. That's not a good look. And he got his boyfriend standing next to him.
But if he goes through the same injustices that you do, how come he can't?
Nope.
He does.
No,
okay, so what if
he hasn't even, okay. So let me finish answering the question. He hasn't even mastered the first law of nature, which is creation. What are you talking about, man? Like, if you don't find enough value in a woman, especially a black woman, who is the best woman on this planet, let me just say that. All right, you dig what I'm saying,
brother? Thank you.
If you ain't found enough value in your woman to stand by her, you want to go to a man or whatever have you, it's like, come on, what does your moral compass look like, bro?
Okay. So
you don't need to be speaking for me.
That does sound a little homophobic. I'm sorry.
You don't need it. And you know what? And I knew you was going to say that. I knew you always going to say that. I knew that was going to come up at a certain time.
I didn't say
that.
I'll be that bad person.
I never, check it out. Check it out. I'll be done in 5 seconds, I promise. I never, ever was homophobic. You dig what I'm saying? I have family members that are. I love them all the same. My uncle, who is, and he's slamming with it or whatever have you. I see him. I dap him up like he a regular person. What up, Unc? How you doing, man? Are you making some more caramel cake? You dig what I'm saying? Like, he a regular family member to me. It ain't nothing. Ain't nobody ever said nothing to him about that. I would fight for him if somebody said
that.
He didn't say the same thing. He shouldn't be standing up there. He said out of his mouth, he know what he's doing is wrong. I can get him on the phone right now.
Okay, but we're not going to do all that. We want to go to Dr. Rogers for a historical viewpoint.
Let's do it.
And Dr. Rogers, we
peace
just,
to the elders.
You know, the, yes.
Stop muting my line, Shani.
I'm not doing that. Somebody else is.
Okay. I keep unmuting my shit every time y'all do that. So got me on this call, so I'm here.
Okay.
I love y'all,
Dr.
though.
Rogers, we love you, too. Dr. Rogers, can you give us a historical viewpoint on this situation, because I mean we're going back and forth and to me it all sounds the same. It sounds like, oh, I don't want somebody who doesn't identify with me or whatever to support me, and I can't buy into that agenda. I just can't. Can you give us your historical viewpoint on it?
Well there's a couple of things going on. You got a couple of different areas of the discussion, but let me just say this in terms of black activism. I'm going to speak of it from this perspective. And the history of black activism has always had the problem of the ruling class and those that fight it or attempt to disrupt it and using many tactics. You know, the civil rights movement very clearly was disrupted by bringing in the Communist Party. which obviously would have set the whole spirit of white America against, you know, any support that they would have given. J. Edgar Hoover used that as a way of getting into the camp of the Black Panthers. That he did it, he got into the camp of the SCLC and SNCC by infiltrating so-called communist individuals into it. And even pre-civil rights, the whole fight over the end of slavery, it was the same kind of tactics were used in terms of the abolitionist movement, the Underground Railroad. They did all kinds of things to and disrupt that. And the whole idea of same gender, that's just one of the tactics of all of that. And I think what happens, we get caught up in that fuzzy of arguing about these little specific, and then you lose sight of the real issue. You have got people walking the streets of America with AK-47s ready to kill you and kill your children. And they're doing it. Take your children. And that has nothing to do with none of the stuff we're talking about right now. There are people out here who are masquerading in all kinds of different ways to fight us from an underground while we are arguing about all kinds of different stuff. The civil rights movement, we argued about everything. We was arguing over this, whether you were Black Panthers, whether you were this, or whether you were male, female, homosexual. I remember when Bayard Rustin went in to help Martin Luther King. J. Edgar Hoover sent an agent sent somebody to Adam Clayton Powell and told Powell to go talk to King and tell him if he keeps messing with Bayard Rustin, we're going to put out to the fact that he's having a sexual relationship with Bayard Rustin. And that would have killed that whole movement with King's effort. So
sure would have.
It's all of that. You know, it's just an attempt to disrupt. And I heard the brother talking about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He did that with him. That, you know, a lot of those stories that went out was coming out from the FBI. I mean, and there's documentation now to do that. They were putting those lies out about him. They put the lies out about Malcolm. They did them about Garvey. They ruined Marcus Garvey's campaign in terms of what he was doing.
They did.
So I think you need to think of it that way in terms of the historical connection. There's a lot of this is just straight out infiltration, you know, of outside parties that's trying to disrupt, you know, our liberation movement.
I agree. Thank you so much for that, Dr. Rogers, and I appreciate you always bringing a historical viewpoint. So, I mean, I think that's where I'm coming from. You know, why are we so focused on what type of people you like? What are your preferences?
Danny, I'll say that for like 10 times.
But I mean,
like 10 times, Queen.
But I mean, that's the reality. You still haven't answered the question. You know,
we've answered it several different ways.
No, you did not. You did not. You brought up a whole bunch of stuff that didn't mean anything or whatever to the point of why are we still focused on the fact that a man who likes another man is not qualified enough to speak for your liberation.
Let me answer that right now. Okay. So the brother brought up Bayard Rustin, however you say his name, right? I don't know if you did the historical research on the brother or not, but he was gay. Right? He was going to lead the civil rights movement before Martin Luther King. But guess what the elders of the movement told him? They said, no, we cannot have a homosexual man out front in this movement. Why? Obvious reasons. So they put King on it. That's facts. You can look it up.
What are the obvious reasons?
I'm going to say this, right?
We're talking about something that happened years ago to something that's happening now.
No, it don't matter
now.
If it was yesterday, Shani. It's the same
principle. It does matter. It does matter because you live in the United States of America.
It was something that was really frowned upon. Now, people are more open about
it. It's frowned upon in the African community?
You live in the United States?
What is my ancestry, though?
Okay,
so you can't contradict yourself. Don't contradict yourself right now. That's what you're saying.
But he's not speaking on nobody's. Right, but Queen, listen.
My uncle is a black male who also identifies as being gay. I have no problems with my uncle who was born in the 50s
speaking on black rights right now for the fact of he's lived his life. He was always frowned upon for being black and then being gay. It was always black first, not gay first. It was always black first. He don't ride around in the car with a gay pride, with a gay pride on his car. It's just, this is a black male. My uncle has been deemed by police, not because he was gay, but because he was black. So that's why I feel the way that I do.
Okay.
He's black first, then he's gay.
Can I also address the elephant?
No, you can't say nothing else, Shani. I need to get in here. Nope. Ooh. You didn't took the whole conversation over, and I love you. That's said with love. Let me answer the question. You keep on saying, I keep on saying this, but you ain't answering the question. Then you take over the conversation.
Okay, answer the question, please.
Okay, so going back to the Byron Preston dude, the elders of the civil rights movement with the NAACP said it's not the best look to have a homosexual male out front speaking on our issues. Why? Because he's living an alternative lifestyle. That's a quote from them. So they did. So Byron Preston quietly was guiding King behind the scenes. When King used to travel, he used to travel with him. Stuff like that. Corella, doing personally. He used to come by the house and sit and talk with King and stuff like that. Now, that don't make him any less of a leader or something like that, because King was getting, was taking points from the brother or whatever, but it's just the point that he could not be out front because it wasn't the best look, and this is from the elders of the NAACP time and the civil rights movement.
And that's true. And that's true.
That's true.
But I think that we're
talking about right now.
What, and this, it's the same. It's the same issue.
Okay. John Oden is the mayor in California, Palm Springs, and he's a black open gay person. So because he's a black open gay person, it's gonna make him a mayor. He's making life changes for his community.
So my question is, you know, let's address the elephant in the room. You know what I'm saying? We're talking about discrimination. We're talking about a movement that's built around discrimination of our people. But we as a people are discriminating against them. It makes absolutely no sense. Yes, it is true.
Explaining it to you. He talks about how they like to co-op our movement.
No. Well, if you listen to the elder said that, you know what I'm saying, they like to co-op our movements or whatever to prevent us from focusing on the real issue. The real issue is that it doesn't matter if you queer, if you straight, you still ain't got no freedom in this country. So why are we focused and fighting over the stupid
thing?
It is true.
Hook the homosexual community up with laws to protect them.
Nah, brother,
directly for black people, but he sure helped out the police. Definitely helped out the homosexual community.
We still focus on the small details that have nothing to do. This is a problem. This is the problem that we're discussing. We are talking about discrimination. Let's stay on target. We're talking about discrimination.
Let's go to some callers.
Okay, we're going to go to the callers, but I want you to listen to my point. Because you gotta understand where I'm coming from and why I'm personally disappointed that we're even having this conversation, because we're talking about discrimination.
We're having this conversation because you text me and asked me to come on this call.
And I appreciate you for doing it, and I'm on the call, and we're having this conversation.
That's why
you're bringing light to something that needs to be talked about. You know, you're bringing light to something that needs to be talked about. So if you want a pat on your back and you want a big thumbs up, thank you so much.
I'm gonna get ready to watch this Lakers game when it come on in a minute.
Okay,
you ask me,
well,
why are we having
you know,
this conversation?
My people
we're
out there walking for your freedom, and we trying to understand why you as a brother are discriminating against people up in your community. Because that's what you're doing. You're discriminating, you know, against people in your community because they don't have or share the same values as you. That's what it boils down to.
I'm legit not discriminating against nobody.
Okay. All right. We're going to go to the caller. We have a caller.
All right. Well, ladies, inner mind right now. We got a caller, Phoenix 3723. Let's see what that caller got to say. Caller, are you there?
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes
sir, brother. We can hear you.
Yes. My name is Marcus. You know, we got to remember, you know, that is not a part of African culture. Homosexuality is not a part of African culture. I'm saying there is no historical evidence to prove that that type of behavior is a part of African culture. That is a European culture that comes from Europe. And being that we have been living with these been for the last 500 years. We have picked up their habits, their bad habits. And bear in mind also that the people who are funding that Black Lives Matter, it's that black money funding it, you know. So you have to bear in mind who is behind the funding. What is their objective? What is their agenda? That type of behavior doesn't promote life. Okay? Two men can't produce life. Two women can't produce life. That is going to against the law of nature. You don't see two male things. Two male animals, they go to blow. Two male. Okay? That is not a part of our culture. But it's being promoted by other people. And they have to be very, very careful with that. I don't support it. I am with the brothers. And I tell no, I don't want no money, no guests from telling me, can't leave it nowhere. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, caller. So we're going to go to our next caller. Or actually, yes, our next caller ending in, or area code 414 ending in 3825. Caller, what do you have to say?
Shani, I'm up 30, just for the record.
Caller, are you there? Nope. So I don't think that caller wants anything to say. So I'm going to go to our ladies because some of us have been a little quiet or not being able to get our word in edgewise. So, Miss Maya, what do you got to say, girl? I'm just saying.
Woo, Kyle. I'm that this evening has been eye-opening for me. Basically, because I still feel from the standpoint, if so-and-so, if Joe over here is gay and he's black and he still goes through the same injustices, he still pulled over while being black, or he's still profiled, he still is going through those same types of things. So I don't see why he can't run for the movement, why he can't be part of the movement, why he can't be out in front, because he's speaking about his culture, about him being black, about what he's suffered, about the things that he's going through. So, you know, I'm not gay, but I'm not saying so-and-so is not black because he's gay. Because like Lady B said earlier, he's still black first. I don't understand. I don't get it.
Is that a question or is that a statement?
It's a
That's
statement.
Her statement.
That's it. You can.
Okay. So.
Well, no. Before he. No. Hold on. I want the ladies to just. No. I'm not trying to cut you off. I do want our ladies on the panel to, you know, just get their point out there or get their look or get our opinions out there. So, Lady Tavy, what do you have to say, ma'am?
I'm sorry. Did you say it was my turn?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, well, I said my piece. I totally don't agree. I believe you're black first before anything. So, whether they wear a skirt, a dress, it doesn't matter. If their point is valid, it's valid.
Okay.
But that's basically
okay. And Miss Shandy B, you've been saying a whole heck of a lot of everything. Hold on, be nice.
I'm just as confused as you guys because, you know, we're talking about the liberation of people. And I remember, was it W.E.D. Du Bois who talked about the Talented Ten, and everybody had a problem or whatever because they were, he wanted to do the top 10 light-skinned people or whatever of the community. And now we're doing the same thing, but we're saying, oh, a straight person has to be the forefront for our community. And I, as a person, don't understand. I'm not a homosexual woman. I'm a straight black woman. And I don't understand if a person is able to understand the experiences that I experienced and they are qualified to talk about it, in my opinion, why is it a problem because they choose to be with the same sex? Now, if,
why
you know,
not?
Yeah, I'm just saying, if if big butts was a problem, you know what I'm saying? And we said, hey, if that's a man dates a woman with a big butt, no, it's an example though. If a man dates a woman
never,
with a big butt,
a
it's frowned
example.
Upon, and you
no,
can't be the face of our community or our,
no,
our movement. Okay, but I'm just saying,
it's frowned upon
example.
By no heterosexual male on this planet. White,
it
black,
is.
Or in between.
Actually, it is.
Heterosexual?
Okay, we're not going to get on that because people have preferences. Wait, but listen. People have preferences. And it doesn't matter if it's the same that you have.
Hey, which one of us are men? Me or you?
Okay, I'm a woman that date men.
Right.
And
right.
I'm
and
a woman
I'm a man,
that know what men like.
And I know
like.
Real tendencies.
Okay, but I'm a woman who's been told that men don't like big butts. So we talking. No, it's not a lie. It's reality. It's reality.
I don't know which man said that thing.
I mean,
Shani,
I'm just saying.
Shani,
it's
if we,
there
we
out
control,
here. I can tell you his name, but
Shani,
we ain't going to give him
Shani,
whatever
Shani,
that attention.
Shani, check it out. Check this out. If you poll 10 men, right? If we poll 10 men on Facebook right now, right?
Here we
and
go.
Hold on, man. Y'all been dominating. You know,
no, we
don't want to make my point no more.
Because we talking
like
about.
Hold on.
No, we talking about the small details. No, brother, we talking about the small details. You're not listening to the point
no,
that
you
I'm
brought
trying
a big
to make.
And I was going
to
make a big butt point.
I don't
and now
care
you're telling
about
me
big
not
butts.
To make it. You
I'm talking about how about little titties? How about that?
I like big butts, and I cannot lie.
Okay. Like, let's not focus on the deep. Look at the bigger picture. The bigger picture is we're talking about a person's preferences, where a person prefers this over this. Okay, but who cares? We're talking about a preference. A person. Okay, I'm done. I'm done.
Thank you. Thank you. Because then maybe somebody else could do some dialogue if you're done.
No, I'm just saying. I'm done with the conversation.
I know what
you're
trying to say, and I get what she's like, where she's coming from. She's right, just trying to say, like, why does somebody's preference have to matter at the end of the day? Like,
right,
that should
okay,
be
so can I answer the question again? Or?
I do hold on. I'm talking now. And so, like, we get that, you know, people feel like LGBTQ should be separated from the agenda for the fact of Black Lives Matter. That's the part that should matter right now. And that should be totally separate because, like other elders have said, they have said that, you know, being gay was not part of the African culture. But who's to say that it wasn't? It was probably undercover gays, and we never knew about it. It wasn't written down.
Our black historians, and I will not let you smear them, our black historians
I'm not
who went to
anything,
the motherland.
Not everything. Not
who
everything
went to the motherland and heavily researched it.
Okay,
our elders. Don't do that. Don't try to add in. I heard that little comment, Queen. Don't do that.
Okay.
I'm not doing anything, but I'm saying that not everything was written down. Not everything was written down. That
it wasn't even discussed in our oral
I think
culture.
We going off the subject
I
or whatever,
that.
And it doesn't
I
even matter. You got to listen to what
I will not let her
saying.
Besmirch our ancestors.
Okay, she takes it back. But
I'm not taking nothing back. He doesn't put no words in my mouth.
I'm taking it back for you, sister, because we now callers, if y'all listening, 215-490-9832. If you have a question or a comment for Brother Marquise. And then also, if you are on our social media website, you can check us out after 7. Go ahead, Marquise. Respond to the question.
Which one? Because it had been like 10 questions since I got to talk last.
Marquise with this. Please.
10 minutes. We ain't got 10 minutes, brother. We got to close up the show.
Okay, so what question do you want me to answer, like, right away? The one that you didn't ask 10 times, Shani, about what you don't understand?
The preference question, yes. If you prefer something, why are you not qualified?
Okay. So that's like saying, since the sister makes the comparisons, that's like saying a white dude that grew up in a black family can speak on our issues and our agendas.
Well, that was my questions that we didn't get to. Yeah. So if a white
I would have knocked that shit out the park like I'm playing baseball.
Okay.
Don't play with me on that. So, anyway, going back to the point, right? Originally, as a people, we are heterosexual, period. There is no evidence to show anything of the contrary, period, right?
Okay.
We're not going to throw in the little speculations on that or whatever have you. We're talking about all of our carbon,
all right.
Not just in Africa and books, not just in Africa,
but around the world, because we were on every continent before everybody else got there. Facts, right? We did not practice that.
This is true.
Okay? But we know we can identify through books, writings, and carvings on the wall where that stuff came from, all right? We know who practiced it openly. We know who forced it on other people unwillingly and things like that, butt breaking. We all know what that was, all right? Don't need to discuss that, okay? If we are trying to get back to our divinity, in which we should be, all right, shedding these religions is one big thing that we need to do, and also shedding all European ways is another big thing that we need to do. And shedding homosexuality is one of the Caucasian ways that was actually beaten into us.
So I think I get where you're coming from, and I think we're having an aha moment. So what you feel is that because a person, okay, what you believe is because a person isn't, okay, what you know is because a person is not, you know, true to their African heritage from ancient Africa traditions, that they are not qualified to speak on your behalf because they haven't, you know, shed at the beast of homosexuality that you feel is a choice, correct?
Well, that's part of it. But here's another thing too. Let's take out the African part of it. All right, let's take that out. All right, let's just look at life. How is life created, Jenny? Life is created when a male goes inside of a female, does something for a little while, and makes it happen. Y'all take what we give y'all, you amplify it, 9 months later, usually on average, 9 months later, another human being comes out. That's how it's been through eons. The elders teach us it's never been any kind of way, because there's a block of women on Facebook that try to say, well, we all used to be women. There is no proof of that, period. All right? So that's that. So if you haven't mastered or at least known one of the first rules of life, if we all decided to live that alternative lifestyle, there would be no humans in less than 120 years, factoring in our kids. We'd all be gone. It wouldn't be nothing. You know, there'd be roaches. There'd be roaches and animals left.
Okay.
So knowing one that it wasn't an original way of life from the 76 trillion years we've been on this planet, knowing that hasn't been a way of our life, knowing where it came from, and knowing that it does not help produce or continue life on this planet, you should know what it's all about. It's contrary to life. Having said all of that, I love all of our people. Every black person from whatever spectrum, I'm talking about light skin, dark skin, women, men, I love us all as a people. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I'm not against none of our people, whatever you decide to live. Here's the thing. I'm not perfect, all right? I got things that I struggle with. I'm still trying to give up soda, all right? I know it's bad for the liver. Let's just be honest. But I'm not perfect to be judging anybody. But I know, and I have references to back me, and there are plenty of other people that agree with me on this. A homosexual male or female should not be leading the movement and speaking on behalf of all of us. And that's all I got to say about that.
Right, brother. So I understand where you're coming from, I think. Do you have any other last minute remarks for the show?
Yeah, I love you, Shannon. You know that. And,
I'm sorry.
I said I love you, Shanny B.
Oh, love you too,
right,
brother.
And to the other two queens that had a chance to speak, peace to you. I don't know you personally, but I wish you peace.
It's prosperity. Three of
it's
them.
Three. I'm sorry. I wish all of y'all peace, prosperity, health, and wealth in abundance. All of that. Peace to the elder. Thank you for your comments, your historical outlook on it. As a young person, if we're speaking in terms of African culture, we should have actually asked the elder. I didn't know he was present on the call. We should have actually asked the elder to permission to speak before him. That was an African practice. That's what they did. The youngins actually asked the elders for permission to speak. before them. So, and with that, thank y'all for having me on. I appreciate it. I hope I helped out in some kind of way, shape, or form. And, Shannon, you know how to contact me if you need.
All right.
I appreciate
thank
you,
you, brother.
Yes, sir. Peace.
All right. Lady V, do you have any last-minute
Shannon,
comments?
Before you go to your last minute, could you just let the caller from San Francisco one more time have something he has to say?
Oh, absolutely. All right, brother from San Francisco, you are live on the show. Here you go. Hello?
Hello?
Yep, you're on the show.
Can you hear me? Can
you hear me? We can hear you.
Yes, sir, we hear you.
Okay, good. My name is Ronaldo Ricketts. I think we were speaking earlier. But anyway, the fact is this. We, as a people, that have been traumatized for over five centuries in the Western Hemisphere, and our plight to be taken seriously, and it should, and we shouldn't divest from that. We shouldn't have fringe groups interjecting their personal agenda into the fight of our history and our struggle, and we shouldn't splinter our movement with people that have personal agendas. They have sexual identity crisis. They should march under the banner of sexual identity. You know, they should get their own flag, get their own free flag, and march under that banner, not juxtapose their cause into the plight of black people. You see, that is a disservice. What are they doing? They're hijacking. They are hijacking our history and saying, well, your history also has, is part of fringe groups. And this is a disservice. This is a disservice to the history and the plight of black people. And that's what I have to say.
Thank you so much for your comment. I appreciate it. Dr. Rogers, did you have any last-minute closing remarks?
No, this was a dynamic conversation. I think you all handled yourself very well. As you can see, there's a lot of work still to be done, a lot of fragmentation in our community and among our people that we've got to bring together. And I appreciate you all attempting to try to make that known. And now they got to have the work to be done to bring us together with things like this. But I appreciate your try and your ability to try to expose this fragmentation as it is.
Absolutely. Maya Marie, you have any last minute remarks for our guests? Maya Marie?
Hey, I'm sorry. I got knocked off. But I'm back. I just want to say I just want to thank everybody for listening. I think we had a real heated discussion, and that's just because we are all passionate about these topics that we create. I don't think Marquise is still on the line, but of course we want to thank him for being a part of the conversation. And basically with me, I kind of feel the same way. I don't think that we got a lot of answers tonight. This controversial topic, you know, we kind of went back and forth about it. But at the end of the day, you know, as far as how I feel, you know, I know back in the days and in ancient times, you know, homosexuality wasn't in the forefront. It wasn't something that was talked about. It was taboo. And considered wrong. But these are the times that we are now living in. And so we do have people who are homosexuals, and I don't think that their lives matter less than heterosexuals. So if they are experiencing the same things that we're experiencing, they're experiencing injustices just like we are, they are just as, if I'm qualified to speak on it, so is Joe, even though he's gay. Because he's gone through the same thing. He's still black at the end of the day, and our plights are still the same. We're still fighting for justice. We're still fighting
to be a people that is not against discrimination? How can we discriminate against it?
Okay. You breaking up, sister. I think that was the last comment. But, Tavy, did you have any last-minute remarks for our guests?
I don't. Thank everyone for listening, and thank Marquise for giving us his opinion. Still respect it, no matter what it is. However, I believe the same as Maya, that no matter what, you're still black, and you still should be respected, and your point should matter as well. That's all I have.
Absolutely. Lady V, you have any closing remarks for our guests or our audience?
Man, listen, Linda, not really. I feel the same as my girls on the panel, and I just feel like if you black or if you gay, lesbian, transgender, it don't matter. You can march with me any day, and I'll march in your march too, because at the end of the day, we was born black, and we gonna die black, period.
Ashe. And I do have something to say, because I have been marching, and I've been marching with the LGBTQ community, and I've seen them support me, you know, as a black woman. I've seen people cry, you know, over how we still they're crying because we still are fighting the same fight that we've been fighting for years. I mean, I have a brother who is homosexual, and his name is Joe, and he's like somebody that I work with and somebody that I call dear to my heart. Years ago, I used to be a homophobic person. I used to have all these viewpoints or whatever that were anti-gay, you know, but the reality is I had to have a come to Jesus moment with myself and say, why does it matter what somebody else does in my life? I mean, I'm not doing it. So why am I so concerned with what someone else is doing in their life? Yes, I have children. Yes, I want my children to have children. But the reality of the situation is it is not directly impacting me what somebody else does. And I know the trickle-down effect, the domino effect, yeah, my children are going to be exposed to certain things. But I live in America. I live in America, the land of the free, and the land that allows people to be able to choose what and who they would like to date. And I think that we as black people, we need to focus on the main point. It doesn't matter if a person decides to be with the same sex. They still can get shot in the head by the police, or they still are subject to the same injustices that we are as black people. Before their sexual preference, thank you, sister, before their sexual preference is even identified, they are identified as being black. So let's focus on the real true issues. The issue is that we as a people, regardless on if you're homosexual or if you're straight, we still have the same issues. And with that, I'm going to close out. Dr. Rogers, we're going to always leave in love, because, you know, this is what our show is about. It's about love. And thank you, guys, and we'll see you next time.
Brother, brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Hey, Father, Father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the end. For only love can conquer hate. You know we've got to find a way to bring some love here today. Picket lines and picket signs. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see.